Welcome to the Father's Day. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you all so much for being with me. And don't forget to support, don't forget to support the Father's Day by going to thefatherstate.tv/donate and also on locals.com. I have with me today Sean Foyt. That's right?
Foyt, yep.
Foyt. And he is a Christian missionary, musician, and activist who founded several prayer and worship movements, including the Burn 24/7 movement, Light a Candle, Hold the Line, and Let Us Worship movement. Thank you, Sean, for coming on.
Of course.
Great, you saw, great how you get all these things going?
A lot of time, a lot of years.
That's amazing. So how is it going with all the different movements?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, we have, you know, a lot of things going all at one time. Stuff across America, stuff, you know, internationally. Plus, I got 4 kids and a big, busy world, too.
So, whoa. So yeah. You're a husband and a father and, mm-hmm. and you're running the world.
Trying.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so you met with the Great White Hope.
The Great White Hope.
Is that true?
Who is that?
You don't know the Great White Hope?
No.
You lay hands on him. And you pray with him.
Who would that be?
Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. Yep, I
what?
Did.
You didn't know he was the Great White Hope?
No, I've never called him that.
What was it like meeting him and...
Yeah, I mean, I've spent several times with him, and it's been awesome. It's been amazing. He's been a great support for an encourager to what we do, and you know, we've tried to have his back as well, and you know, we're praying for him and
me
praying
too,
for
man.
Protection for him and guidance for him. And
when he was both of those assassination attempts happened to him. What were your first thought about those things? When you first heard it, you thought what?
I mean, I just thought, this is crazy. You know, the fact that this is happening. We haven't seen anything like that happen since the 80s, or maybe even before.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is happening in 2024 was wild.
It's mind-blowing, man.
Yeah, it was almost like the world stopped.
I'm very concerned for his life.
Yeah. 'Cause
it seemed like somebody wanted him out.
A lot of people do.
They don't want him to make it.
Yeah.
That's horrible, huh?
Yeah.
So, Sean, what's important to you?
Right now?
Yeah.
Or in general?
In life, period.
I mean, God is number one. I think, you know, leading people to him, you know, like what we're going to do tonight down the road here in Los Angeles, gather people together, worship. He's the only hope for our country.
Yeah.
He's the only hope for our families, our communities, our broken cities. So, yeah, just calling people back to God, I think, is probably the number one thing that burns on my heart. And it's what I've been doing for, you know, a lot of years. So, and then after that, I mean, I love my family. I love, you know, my 4 kids,
nice.
My wife. I love that God's entrusted me to be a father to them. And and so I do anything for my kids. And
nice.
So
how long you been married?
Almost 19 years.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so I read or I heard somewhere that you became a Christian in college, is that right?
No, I became a Christian when I was a young boy. I grew up in church. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Nice. So tonight is August, what's the day today?
September 20th.
Oh, yeah, September 20th, you hold a concert,
a
music concert down in L.A.
Yeah.
Right? And where is that?
It's at Angelus Temple.
Oh, okay.
In L.A., the kind of the historic venue there.
Right. You believe, so were you called by God to do the things you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, ever since I was a kid, I've you know, dreamed of being able to travel and tell people about God. And you know, music came in the later part of my life, but has always been a huge, huge part of a love of mine, music and worship.
So what would you like best, God or music?
I mean, God, but I think music was a was something that I pursued because of my love for God. I love church and, you know, worship at church. And I was like, man, I want to be able to do that anywhere, anytime.
Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state? The show is called The Fallen State.
Yeah.
You believe, and you do believe it. What is the fallen state, and can you overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, you have to, I hopefully everybody would agree that, you know, especially today with the evil and the wickedness and the violence. And I mean, we are a fallen state. We're a fallen people. And that's why we need a savior. That's why we need God. That's why we need his help. And that's the only hope for us as a human race.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. How would one know if he or she is in a fallen state? How would you know that?
If you were born, you would know that.
You would know that.
If you're alive today.
Is it painful to be in a fallen state?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very painful.
Yeah. Yeah. And give me an example of the pain that you would feel in a fallen state.
I mean, I just think in my, you know, in my definition of a fallen state would be disconnected. Like you're totally disconnected from why you were created, who you are, who made you, why you're here. You know, I was walking here to do this interview with you, and there's people just aimlessly walking around the streets outside. They don't know who they are, where they are, what they're here for. That's a fallen state.
And how can one overcome it, the fallen state?
Find God.
Find God.
Find God. Find your purpose. And find your calling.
And where is God?
God's everywhere, but you know, God is looking for people to turn to him. And I think that there's a lot of people that that don't ever get in the place of surrender and posture their heart and their lives in a place where they can say, I actually need God. I need a higher power. I need something greater than me to pull me out of this mess.
And so you believe in God.
Yeah.
And do you have perfect peace?
I have a lot of peace, especially in 2024.
Right.
Especially for the things that we face. I mean, I go through times like anybody where that peace can get shaken, you know. But I would say, I have a pretty peaceful life. We have a pretty peaceful life.
And how about perfect peace? Do you have perfect peace?
At times, yeah.
And sometimes you don't have it?
Yeah, sometimes I don't.
And what happens when it leaves? What causes it to go away at times?
Probably just the lack of trust, you know, in God having everything in control. Or, you know, sometimes you let anxiety or worry or fear kind of creep in. And you got to remind those things that you know, you got to rise above them. You got to remember God.
And why do you allow those, being a son of God, why do you allow the devil to creep in like that at times? Because that is evil of the devil.
Yeah.
Why do you allow that?
I think it's just a constant thing that we deal with every day where we have to put on the armor of God, remember who's in control, remember our identity. And I think it's an everyday battle. I don't know that there's a one-time fix and that you're perfect. I think that there's a constant need.
And so Christ came and he brought us perfect peace. Mm-hmm. Why haven't you accepted that entirely, the total, the whole thing, and never be without it? Why?
Oh, I've accepted it. I mean, I've definitely accepted it. I think what you're talking about is the reality that that's what he's given you. And then on our end, we have to walk in that reality and choose that reality every day.
Right.
It's not just a one-time thing where all your problems go away. It's a daily decision.
So you're married to her, you said, right? Mm-hmm. And does your wife obey you?
Does she obey me?
Yeah. I ask, a lot of men are married, Christians are married, and wives don't obey them.
Yeah.
Does your wife obey you?
Yeah. I mean, I think that when it comes down to final decisions and things, I mean, she definitely leans into me and listens and follows wherever I feel like we're supposed to go or what we're supposed to do.
Right. What should a Christian man do when his wife refused to obey him? How should he deal with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that first of all, I mean, these are the kind of things that it's really good to help bring before a third party, you know, somebody that can help you walk through this.
Okay.
I think first of all, that couple really needs to be plugged into a local church where they're walking with people through their marriage. So I think that's number one. And then finding a believer, somebody that loves God and shares your same values to help you on that journey. Yeah.
Amazing. So they should have a third party involved, at least someone to talk to, mm-hmm. to kind of work through the issues.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with the hell in your wife? You know how you wake up sometimes, she's ticked.
I would probably ask her how she deals with it with me. I mean, she's far more loving and caring and accepting than I am. I just try to extend grace and like she does to me. And then, you know, if there's things that we need to discuss or confront, then we'll definitely do that.
So when you wake up in the morning, you come home from a long trip or a busy day, and she's just irritated. Oh, where you been? Or, oh, I'm sick of these children. And you're like, what the? And you would deal with that how?
I don't really have that experience. So I might not be the best person to ask.
And so you say that your wife has to deal with you. You're more emotional than your wife?
I don't know if it's about emotions. I just think that I don't really have a nagging wife, if that's what you're trying to get to.
I'm just trying to help other men who are listening, married
yeah,
men.
Yeah.
Christians, especially Christians.
Yeah.
They want to know, how do you deal with an anger? Because I've noticed that, and I've heard that most of Christian women are angry and evil, you know, hard to deal with women.
I wouldn't say most are. I would say that there's a good there might be a percentage that are.
Right.
But, you know, I think the thing for men is, like, you are the one that sets the tone for your home.
Absolutely.
Right? You're the climate controller. So, like, it's your responsibility. You're the head of the household, and God's given you authority to set the climate of the temperature of your home. And if there's strife and tension and irritableness and all that kind of stuff, at the end of the day, you got to change the temperature. And, you know, you can't expect something that you're bound in, you know? So you got to get free first. And then you can help free your wife and your kids right. and your environment.
And so you're the head of your wife?
Head of the, yeah, of the house.
How about your wife? Are you the head of your
yes.
wife? And does she know that?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I don't think we have a relationship to where I need to always remind her of that kind of thing. I think that, you know, when we set our marriage vows to each other and right. we said I do, I think we came to agreement. You know, she wants me to be the leader in the house, in the marriage. So I don't have to remind her all the time. Hey, I'm the head.
That's, you don't yeah. come home and say, the boss is
yeah,
home.
Yeah, I don't have to do that.
Amazing. I noticed that a lot, and I want to ask you about the weakness of Christianity today, but I noticed that a lot of women are trying to be preachers. Should a woman become a preacher, pastor, deacon, whatever they call themselves now? Mm-hmm. Should men allow that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, this could be a whole 10-series podcast thing. So I don't know how deep we want to go down this rabbit hole. But I think that women carry such an incredible benefit to the body when they're in the right position.
Right.
And I think that, you know, women are incredible in aspects of ministry, and they can have a function and a calling and an anointing that men can never carry. But unfortunately, in our culture, you know, on this, men can do everything that women can do, and women can do everything that men can do. And we're in this kind of thing where we're not respecting the God-ordained roles for
right.
each. And so you get into some kind of weird territory where women are put into roles they really shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
And same thing for men. Men are put into roles they really shouldn't be in.
I know they're taking a woman's role.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I don't, you know, we have an older daughter now that's, thank God, is our babysitter for our kids, but I would never have a man babysitter.
Right?
For my kids.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't do that. So I wouldn't, you know, there are certain roles, you know, I wouldn't expect a woman to work at a coal mine. It's not a very popular woman role.
That's right.
So I just think that we're in the cultural chaos that we're in right now is just women are trying to do everything men can do and vice versa. And that's just not how God ordained it.
It doesn't work that way. Yeah. Would God ever call a woman to be a leader?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be a leader?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you see women in leadership roles throughout history, throughout the Bible. Yeah.
Would he ever call them to be a preacher, pastor, teacher, prophet on it?
I think that there's incredible places for women to serve in some of those capacities. I believe that there are times and seasons. Like, I mean, you know, we have our own idea of the church expression over here in the West that represents a very small fraction of what the global church looks like.
Right.
If you go over to a place like Iran right now, where it's the fastest growing underground church in the Muslim world, the average age of the house group leaders in their underground churches are women that are in their young 20s. They're the ones that are that God's moving on and people are getting
saved.
So
you believe that God called women to lead?
Yes.
Really?
I do.
Would you ever follow a woman?
I've followed women before that have led in capacities that
really?
I think are amazing. Yeah.
Woman
I don't think it's healthy for a woman to take a leadership role as a senior leader of a church.
Right.
You know, I don't think that that's a very healthy role, but man, there's been some amazing women I've known that I've learned a lot from.
And so you have followed a woman?
Followed a woman? Yeah. I don't, what do you mean by that?
you said that you have followed.
I have learned from women leaders. In
but you
areas.
Didn't follow them. You just learned something.
Yeah, how
to cook or.
Well, no, I've learned deep things of God. I've learned stuff from my own mom, you know, that I would have never, not just cooking and cleaning, but I've learned some pretty awesome things, you know.
Do you believe in the order of God?
Yes.
And what's that order?
Why don't you tell me? You obviously have an agenda here, so.
No, I'm just asking, we're talking.
What do you want to get to here?
When you say you believe in the order of God, what is the order that you believe in?
In talking about what specifically?
God and his
like
order.
Like his order life. For what?
Life.
Okay.
Especially in, for life, period, because, you know, he has a different set of rules than what the world has.
Right.
And the world teaches that women can be over men, they can lead them and all that kind of, but God says no to that.
Yeah, I mean, we've already discussed that.
So, and the order of God is God in Christ, Christ in man over woman and woman over children. Uh-huh. Do you believe in that order?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Because a lot of men are trying to get back to that. They used to teach that in the good old days when boys were boys.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
But I noticed they're breaking away from that and they're making women over men. Have you noticed that every time a man listens to a woman, he suffers?
Yeah.
You noticed that?
No, I haven't.
You remember God said that because you listen to the woman, you suffer?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that in the Bible?
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's women you could listen to and suffer. There's men you could listen to and suffer. There's a lot of wrong people and wrong motives you could listen to and suffer.
Yeah, but every time you listen to the woman, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
Remember he told Adam that? because you listen to the woman, you're going to suffer.
Yeah.
And every time the man listens to the woman, he suffers because he's breaking God's order. Do you agree to that?
Yeah.
Sean, where is the kingdom of heaven?
Where is the kingdom of heaven?
Yes.
I mean, I believe that the kingdom, you know, the kingdom of heaven is now. I believe that it's an active thing. I believe that it's something that we, you know, that we can go after now, that the kingdom of God is available and accessible, and it's life and it's hope and it's joy and it's salvation and it's repentance and it's freedom. And, you know, I think that there is a coming kingdom and a coming king.
Right.
But then I think there's a reality of that kingdom that's here, you know.
Amazing. One other thing I want to add, Christianity, then I want to move on, but Christianity is very weak today. Mm-hmm. And I think, I happen to believe that Christianity is the best religion on this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. But it's become very weak. Have you noticed that? And why is that? And how can we change it?
Well, again, I think when you're referring to Christianity, I'm just assuming here you're referring to Christianity in the Western English-speaking world. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, not necessarily. I'm not that for me how it works around the world. But I am talking about
it. Because I've been to 70-something nations, and I get to travel and go around.
Right.
And I would say it's not weak around the world. It's growing faster than it's ever grown in the history of the world.
Right.
I think that there are expressions of it that are being challenged, like in America. You know, you're looking at the number one COVID violator in 29 states.
Right.
That fought against, you know, wrong, you know, unbiblical, unconstitutional mandates to tell people they couldn't worship when they should.
Right.
So I believe in fight. I remember fighting back, but it's a small perspective to think that Christianity is weak globally, because it's actually not. But,
so is it just weak in America and white countries as opposed to around the world?
I think it's waning. I think that it's revealing. I'll say that. I think that God is revealing the true church. There's an exposing of what's fake and fraudulent, and there's a revealing of what's true and real.
Right.
And so I think that we're in an hour where God is revealing the real, true church that's rising up. And that's happening in America, but around the world, like we have a missions base in the Middle East, in Iraq.
Oh,
and we have bases all across India. And we're doing work in the 1040 window and some of the darkest places of the world. And God is moving in really amazing ways there. And Islam is fading in a lot of those countries. And
nice.
Christianity is exploding.
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah.
So it just depends on your perspective.
I noticed that a lot of Christians have fear.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to believe in God and have fear?
I don't believe those things go together.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a gut level check. You know, if you're following God, you know, you fear the Lord. So yeah, there is a fear there of God.
Right.
But not a fear of men.
And so what would you say to the men that watch this show and they hear, they do have fear, men or women,
yeah,
and they do have fear. How can they overcome that fear? And they say they believe in God. What should they do to overcome that fear?
Well, I just think probably like any other struggle or sin, they just need to repent and just say, God, free me. And I think it's a daily sacrificial calling of laying that fear down before the Lord and asking Him to give them, you know, what's the opposite of fear?
The opposite of fear, no fear.
Yeah, no fear, or faith,
right.
Courage.
Right.
Right? So ask the Lord to give them faith or courage instead of fear. And I think that that is something that, you know, a lot of us struggle with. And I think it's because our world is so filled with it.
So you struggle with fear at times?
That's more of a rare thing for me.
Right.
But, I mean, it has happened. Yeah, for sure.
Amazing. Do you agree with me that white people, especially white men, Christian men like you, are under attack in America like I've never seen before?
Yeah.
and that they are under attack. They're being blamed for everything that's wrong.
Yeah.
This idea of racism, all that. And I've noticed that white people are afraid to speak up for themselves in their own country. Have you noticed that? And why is that?
Because I think being white and male and Christian and straight and having a family is everything the left hates. It's everything.
It is.
It's everything that the enemy hates. And I think that, people, I never grew up even thinking about race. But now it's just become the center. It's become the bastion of the left to result to race and racism and, whatever. So for me, I think there is an attack on that. I definitely don't try to play the victim. I feel like we got to rise above that, and we got to seek the Lord, and we have to release. I think a lot of times straight white male conservative Christians, it can feel like you are a constant target.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, for me, if you're a constant target, that means you're a threat to the enemy.
Yeah.
And so.
Do you love white people?
Yes, of course. I love white people.
Most people are afraid to say they love white people.
Yeah. That would be weird to say that you don't love white people.
I have interviewed white people who are afraid to say they love white people because they don't want to appear racist or something.
Yeah, I'm definitely not.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy.
Do you believe that racism exists?
I do, yeah. I definitely believe racism exists.
And why do you believe that?
Because it's existed since the beginning of time. It's just an evil, demonic spirit that has been around forever.
So do you have any proof that racism exists?
Well, like you said, you just said that white male men, Christians, are being attacked because they're white.
But that's
male
evil.
And Christian. Right. And so there's an example.
Right, but racism, they pretend that racism is like you're just discriminating against someone because of color, not because you hate them. And they make it a physical thing rather than a spiritual thing.
Right.
And I don't see any, and I grew up in Alabama on a plantation.
Yeah.
I don't see any, and never have seen any proof of racism. But I do see that our battle is a spiritual battle, warfare between good and evil.
Yeah.
Why, and you agree with that?
Yeah.
So why don't the Christians say that? So when these children of the lie try to say it's about race, they say, no, it's a spiritual battle. Why don't Christians say that and shine some light on this lie?
Well, I think hate is hate, and regardless of what it is or what your skin color is or if you're the same skin color or the different or whatever. I mean, I think that, most people haven't had the luxury of traveling so many countries around the world that I have and have seen all the different factions of people groups and societies and cultures. And I think that there's always tension between them, but that's when we rise above that,
Because of time, let me ask, have you forgiven your mother and father?
Yeah.
Did you tell them that?
Yeah.
And so when you went to your mother and told her, I forgive you for imposing your will on me or turning me against my father, what did she say? How did she deal with it?
It wasn't that. That wasn't ever the thing that I had to forgive my mom for. It was more for different things. It wasn't ever her imposing her will. That was never an issue. But there have been things that I've had to release forgiveness for my mom and dad for.
And was it hard for you to tell your mother you were sorry for being angry at her for screwing you up?
Hopefully she didn't screw me up. Or I might not be sitting here with you. So I think she did a pretty dang good job. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's normal to have parents that are not perfect. I mean,
all people have screwed up parents.
Yeah.
All races, everybody.
Right, yeah.
And you think that's normal?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
And so you have children, you and your wife. Are you guys going to be screwed up parents?
Man, we're not going to be perfect.
And why not? That.
We're not going to be perfect, but we're going to try. And, you know, I think the goal is for every generation or you know, for us to do better than our parents, yeah. For our kids to do better than us. And, you know, that I think that's the goal, to continue to get better.
Should Christians be involved in politics?
Yes.
I'm glad I agree. And so what do you say to those Christians who say, oh, you should not be involved in politics? But I hear that more and more every day. What do you say to those Christians who are paying attention to
that? Well, I mean, it's part of the Great Commission, going into all the world, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth, every culture, every sphere.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is not... You know, he wants to invade the political space too. We're supposed to shine our light, be
right.
Salt and light. So there's no area of society that's excluded from that calling.
I don't even understand why a Christian would say that. The light of God needs to be shine in all corners of the world. Mm-hmm. So if you don't bring it into government, the people that don't believe in God are going to take over the government, mm-hmm. and they're going to pass laws that will enslave the Christians.
Yeah,
I don't know why they don't see that.
I mean, I think it's a ploy of the enemy to get people, Christians, to shut up and not stand up. And I think that we're seeing that play out in real time. But again, if you follow the words of Jesus, you know, I think that Jesus is perfect theology. So if Jesus says to go into all the world, it means all the world.
Yeah. I tell men not to marry educated women. Because educated women don't make for good wives and good mothers. What do you say to that?
I mean, maybe that's your experience. I don't know. I mean, I paid for my wife to go to finish college when we got married, because no one in her family history had ever finished college, and she wanted to do something that someone in her family never did. And so I supported her with it, wanted her to do it. I thought it was awesome. And she's amazing because she has a double education degree. And,
whoa.
And, you know, even though she's a stay-at-home mom, it's definitely helpful, those skills.
But that must be rough on you, because educated women, egos are through the roof.
I think it's a case-by-case basis. I think that that's a pretty blanket statement. I think that there's some non-educated women who have egos through the roof. So... I don't know if education, how much that plays a factor.
Right.
But, I mean, I love it that my wife has a double education. I think it's amazing. And
really?
It's super helpful because, yeah, I mean, just think about, you know, geometry homework. Right?
So she's homeschooling the kids?
We did do homeschool for a season. And now we're not in that season. But if you don't have an educated wife, how's she going to help with all that?
Common sense.
It's not common sense anymore, some of the math.
That's for sure. So let me ask, if your wife wanted to go out and work, would you tell her, no, you got to stay home and watch over my children, and she would listen?
Thankfully, we're not in a position where she has to.
Right.
Or we're not in a position where she wants to. Her dream of her life is to be a mom.
So it sounds like you found, or God gave you, a good wife. Because they're hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, we were high school sweethearts. We've known each other since high school. And
oh, really?
Yeah. So
you've known her for a long time.
We didn't wade through the dating mess.
Right on.
We didn't do all that. So
nice.
That's probably part of it.
Should men be allowed to play in women's sports?
All these questions, and you're going to ask that one. Of course men shouldn't play in women's sports.
And why not?
Because it's women's sports, and they're men.
Nice. And should women be allowed...
Is this a trick question or what?
No. Should women be allowed to play in men's sports?
No, of course not.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, some people think, well, men shouldn't play in women's sports, and they shouldn't, but they think it's okay for women to play in men's sports. That's why I ask.
The moment you see a woman in the NFL, it's over.
That's right.
Yeah.
What a mess, huh?
Yeah.
So I got to ask, Donald Trump, are you voting for the Great White Hope this time?
I am. I'm voting for Trump, of course.
Why is he so hated?
because he's standing against the system, and he's an outsider, and he's rocking the boat.
Yeah. I noticed that he has what seemed to be perfect love. He seemed not to have fear, because God did not give us a spirit of fear, right?
Yeah.
And so Trump seemed not to have the fear. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that about him?
Yeah. He's a pretty fearless individual.
Yeah. So I got to ask this, then I got to put you on the hot seat so we can, I know you.
I got to go.
Right. What's wrong with the blacks?
I don't know if that's a question we should end on. That's a long conversation. I think that they're amazing. I think that our communities.
You think they're amazing?
I have a lot of friends, a lot of African American friends that are amazing, but I think that their community is under attack. And I think that.
By whom?
The devil.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So, and you know, there's a real lack of leadership, I think.
Yeah.
There are some amazing black leaders.
Really?
But then there's...
Why do black people need leaders? Why can't they just lead their own life like they did before the Civil Rights Movement, where black men were in charge of their families, they worked, they treated all people the way they would like to be treated. And then all of a sudden, the Civil Rights Movement came along, and Louis Farrakhan, and all those people. And now black men and women, especially men, look to leaders. Why? What's wrong with them? They can't think for themselves and be their own leader.
Well, I think humankind looks to leaders.
Do you have a leader?
I think that...
Why people don't have leaders? You don't have a leader, right?
I mean, I think all races have leaders.
Do you have a leader?
Yeah, I do have a leader.
And you have some man to tell you how to think, how to vote, who to hate, who to love.
No, I mean, I have friends and mentors and people that I look up to.
Right, but not a leader like the blacks, right?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
They have the civil rights leaders and NAACP and all those crappy people.
Yeah, I mean, that a lot of that stuff is kind of noise and you know, I don't know. I think that I will say this in closing. I think that there needs to be massive, like, we need a move of God in that culture, and I think God is moving. I think He's raising people up with boldness and courage, but we need more.
So I got to put you on the hot seat. I need you to answer these questions as quickly as possible.
Okay.
All right.
The hot seat.
What is love?
God is love.
If Trump wins the election, should we keep him in office forever?
No.
Is the earth flat or round?
Round.
What is a man?
A man.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
No.
Was Jesus white or black?
Neither.
Is it ever okay to tell a woman she's fat?
That's tricky.
I'm sorry?
That's tricky. Next.
Is it ever okay for a man to cry?
Yes.
Should a man ever tell a woman his problems?
Should a man what?
Ever?
Yeah.
Ever tell
Three
a
evers.
Woman his problems?
No.
True or false? Feminism destroyed the family.
Yes.
Is it wrong for a black man to love the Confederate flag?
No.
Does a chicken have lips?
No.
Do you have white privilege?
No.
Sending your children to a public school today.
Who?
Your children to a public school is child abuse. True or false?
False.
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
Yes.
I got to let y'all know Sean has a concert this evening, so he ran by to do this interview with us, and I appreciate it. Sit down for a minute.
I got to go, man.
No,
I'm
tell
late.
The folks how to get your stuff in the camera right there.
Do what?
tell the folks how to get to your website.
You guys can go to seanfoyt.com or lettucesworship.us. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, blah, 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 X, everywhere. And thanks for having me.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
And thank you all for tuning in. I absolutely appreciate it. Don't forget to like, follow, ring the bell, subscribe. Check out the merch. And also, if support us by going to thefallestate.tv/donate or locals.com. Right? Locals.com. And thank you. If you guys like to see someone else on the show as well, some different people, let us know. Contact my producer, producer at thefallestate.tv. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Nice.